Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Liquor Barn Studios, it's time for the Diener Show, presented by OPC Pest Services on ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Drew Diener and Mark Blankenbaker.
Welcome back to the Diener Show here on ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville. We're out here at Tri-State Men's Health, where I'm a patient, and you know they've helped me lose 23 pounds. They check your testosterone, check my testosterone, and they're like, "Yeah, Mark, you're a little low. Let's get that fixed. Let's have you lose some weight." And they talked with me. They went through everything. And
you just got to try it. I mean, I get some people that ask me, they're like, "Oh, I guess me." I'm like, "I'm not a doctor. I'm just telling you." You think people that
come in here and talk to them.
Yeah. And I will say this, you know, about because I've done, you know, testosterone in my life before and, you know, probably will do it again. Do everything they tell you to a T or you're wasting your time.
Right.
Like, don't get well. I'm supposed to take this vitamin and do it. And you do it like every other day. No, either do exactly what they say. Or you're wasting your time and money.
Right, right.
So, and it's money well spent. I mean, invest in your body. What's a better thing to invest in?
Right. You a cigar smoker?
Me, no.
You'd ever? Not even derby time?
No.
Okay. Well, this won't interest you, but
okay.
It interests me.
Oh, okay.
The Kentucky Derby.
I like the smell
cigar.
Of them around Derby, yeah.
I love that, too.
Yeah.
Like
racetrack. It reminds me of a racetrack.
I love that, too. But Liquor Barn has the official Derby 150 Romeo and Juliet cigar. 1875 is going to be the official cigar of the Kentucky Derby at Churchill Downs. Mm. And we're going to have it exclusively at Liquor Barn and at the track, who's Liquor Barn's also the official retailer of cigars at the track during the Kentucky Derby. And it's great, you know, so you can get it at home. And I would just keep Liquor Barn in your mind if you're going to have a Derby party, if you're not going to go out to the track, because they have the mint julep ice. They have the mint for your mint julep.
Okay.
They've got all the bourbons, and they have your pre-mixed
stuff.
They have
the mint julep ice? Oh, okay. They put it in bags?
It's a different type of ice.
Yeah,
it's a different type of ice. Mm. And so, they have all that stuff. They got the Derby glasses, the Oaks Lily glasses, all the different things that you would need for the Kentucky Derby. And this year, the official cigar of the Kentucky Derby. So that's really, really cool.
Get to the text line here. Text says, "Great game last night." No, it took forever. Texter says, "Cookie contest." Oh, if you bring it on those things. Texter says, "Yeah, the Luke boos were so exaggerated. I went to all those games, and it's definitely grown in lore." Yeah, it was the one game where he got the Bronx cheer when he was like 0 for 10 or 0 for 9 and
hit
his 10th shot or something like that. Hit that, and Rick got mad, as he should. Come on. It wasn't. You fell right into it.
Hey, if it worked, if it motivated Luke in a way that it led to him hitting four threes in the national championship game, then fine.
I still want – this is a stat that I – you know, if I can make a request to the Kelly Dickey request line, I believe no one's ever won the MOP by fewer shot attempts than Luke Hancock.
Oh, I can – yeah. If he's not listening, I'll just text him and ask him.
Well, he doesn't know. I that's been my theory. He hasn't – oh, Kelly Dickey. Oh,
yeah.
No, yeah. We could probably do the work, or we could have a – you know, maybe we could have an assignment for a texter or for a caller, maybe give a prize. They'll do
– or we could ask the guy with an applied math degree from Harvard with the best database on the planet.
We could. Yeah. he's right. He has his database all on Louisville, though, right? So
he does have it on other stuff that relates to Louisville.
But if you go back and look, I think Luke had like 12 attempts over two games or something like that. He was only five. He had 20-some points with six attempts in the title
game. It's incredible.
Like you look at the box score and you're like, that can't be right. guy didn't score that many points on that few of shots. I mean, if I'm going to bring this up, I better get the exact stinking number here on this, because I even asked Luke about it. He's like, I don't know. I mean, I would have done that research, but that's me. So what did in the title game he had? Let's see. Five. I hate the KenPom box scores. Yeah, he was 5 of 6.
5 of 6.
With 22 points.
So, golly, how do you do
six
that?
So you go 5 of 5 from 3 and 7 of 10 from the line.
Right.
So what I say? So that was 6 attempts in that game. And in the semifinal game, a game that I still have not rewatched to this day.
You've never rewatched
the thing was so
game?
No. The Wichita State game.
You've never rewatched that?
I'd like to do that. I know it's on YouTube.
That probably was the most nervous I've ever been.
Ever at a game, for sure. And on that one, he shot 9 times.
Nine times.
With 20 points.
So wow.
15 shot attempts and 42 points.
That's incredible. And he won the MOP.
Yes, I'm saying I don't think an MOP.
Kelly Dickey's checking.
Has ever won the MOP with fewer attempts.
Yeah. Okay.
That's my theory. He's actually checking.
Yeah. He just texted me back.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
So, but no, you know, and that team, and I think one of the reasons why we're talking about this is because Peyton Siva just got hired.
Yeah. And we're gonna have him on in about 20 minutes here.
But you know, that team just had so many great characters. Like, I don't know that you can have a Russ Smith on that team without a Peyton Siva.
And a Luke Hancock.
And a Luke.
To be right? Disciplined. Yeah.
And then to have a Shane there without a Luke, you know, and then Trez and Luke fought a lot, you know, but that mm-hmm. showed up and manifested itself into something amazing. And so all the little pieces just worked really well together. And Peyton is like I wouldn't hire, I love Russ Smith, but I wouldn't ever advocate for Russ to be a part of our staff.
I don't know.
I mean, but Peyton, I would.
Oh, yeah.
Peyton, yes. I mean, did you see Russie's in Italy and he found this old bottle?
He's probably not a coach.
Of Kentucky Tavern. You know,
he found an old bottle of what?
An old bottle of Kentucky Tavern in Italy, and it looks like an antique. And he's like, I'm drinking out of this, and I'm like, I don't know. I mean, some of these old dusties you don't have to drink at the old KT. I don't know that you need to taste.
Yeah,
but he's over there in Italy drinking it. But no, Russ is great.
Yeah.
I love Russ. I wouldn't want him necessarily to be a coach.
Yeah.
But Peyton Siva, yeah. Bring Peyton Siva in there. Let's see what he can do.
Meanwhile, Russ shot 17 times in the semis. And 16 times. So he had 33 attempts.
Yeah.
And Luke had, what did I say, 15?
15.
Yeah. And Russ with 9. And what was it?
Probably it was 7.
He had 21 points in the semis.
Oh,
so.
He had 21.
Yeah,
but a lot of free throws
in the semis.
But a lot of free throws.
No play was worse than when he turned it over at the end of the Michigan game, trying to throw a cross court pass.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It drove you nuts. It still bothers you.
Yeah, that was the first time I probably stood up and yelled at the TV.
Yeah, all yelled at Russ
in the semis. Now he was 5 of 12 from the line, so we only had 5 points there. But he was 4 of 11 from 3 and 2. I mean, and 2 of 6 from the field. Yeah, yeah. But at 5 turnovers, it was.
But part of being a fan of Russ Smith.
Yeah, you got to take the ups and downs.
No, yes.
Yeah.
You know, be like, no, Russ, and then yes. He would, I can't tell you how
many
times.
And so what was the play, Chase, that got you?
At the end of the game, the game's over if we just, you know, take care of it. And Russ tries to throw a cross-court pass.
We got to crank that mic up.
Is that better?
Well, sometimes it works. That's better. Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't.
I know. But he tries to throw a cross-court pass and it goes out of bounds. And I'm like,
so it's like a L. Ellis pass.
Yeah, it's like pass to absolutely no one.
Yeah, it's an L. Ellis pass in the national championship game. with 2 minutes left.
You think that's why? You think that's the play Eric Musselman saw of L. Ellis and was like, you know, I want to.
I gotta have that guy
$600,000.
Yeah, pass it to absolutely no one. Yeah, I think that's probably it. Oh goodness,
I'm gonna look this play up. I'm gonna find it.
Well. Okay. Or you could let Chase find. That's an awful lot of research and to try to.
No, I just play it in the background.
That's fine. Well, I'll check the text line out here. If you want to hop on in, 267-9680. That's our number to get in. It says, look at Davis, 2012, 6 points in the final on 10 shots. And he was the MOP as well. Texter says, let's see. Yeah, I'll scroll through that one. I already read that one. Texas says baseball needs to make some changes. Been garbage going on for 4 years.
It's 4 years?
It's not true.
Four.
It's a bad year and a half.
In 2020, we had Bobby Miller and Reed Detmers and Henry Miller on the same team.
Number one team in the country.
Number one team in the country. 4 years. Okay, I go. All right.
I guess that was technically 5 years.
Technically five seasons. You're right.
But people have gotten so spoiled around here about the success. And look, I get it. You know, right now, they're actually only one game under 500 in conference right now. But you don't. Where the pitching's going does concern you a little bit, I would say. But it's baseball, man. Like the notion of, we can't tolerate this runner, a team that never been in the NCAA tournament. We can't have this. We can't have any of this.
I know Dan McDonald has created a monster.
Yep.
He has done it himself because now there's interest in baseball that didn't exist before. And
baseball needs
we
an
got
NIL.
Used to hosting and being in super regionals and different things like that.
I thought that was normal. Yeah.
And now that it's not happening with regularity, people are freaking out. They're just freaking out.
Well, I mean, what were they 2 years ago? I mean, I feel like they were doing just fine. I mean, but
talk about the 2022.
Let's see, 21-22 here. I'm on the Go Cards page. Let me see if I can scroll down this. By the way, I destroyed the coffee machine here at Tri-State.
Oh, you broke the coffee?
Well, no. I mean, I just got grounds everywhere. Like, I'm not qualified to use it, clearly. So I guess they missed the NCAA.
They bring us in here and you break the coffee machine.
They were, yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
They do nice things for me and Rummage and James Strebel, and then you come in here and you're just roughshod on the whole place.
Well, 2 years ago, yeah, they were 6-14 in the ACC, so that wasn't ideal. It was suboptimal.
But suboptimal.
Suboptimal.
They were 6-14 in 2022.
21. I'm hang on. I was scrolling basketball. Sorry. I'm looking at baseball. Didn't seem like enough games. Sorry.
I was like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. I was like, that's not enough games.
What was their 2022 season? They were 42-21 and 18-11 and 1 in conference
play.
Scrolling
to basketball.
Yeah, I mean, they were solid in 2022. Let me see what they did in the NCAA.
Wait a minute. That sounds like more than solid.
That
was great.
That's the year that they beat Michigan on the walk-off 2 years ago.
Okay. Yeah, they beat Michigan.
They hosted a regional 2 years ago.
Yeah, they hosted. Then they went to the Texas A&M Super
they
Regional.
They missed one tournament in a row. Right?
Right. Yeah, don't tell me 4 years when in 2022. I remember that A&M, yeah, we lost two in the Super
Regional.
Yeah,
they got the Super Regional.
It was like incredibly hot in College Station. Remember that?
Yes, they lost in the Super Regional. 2 1-run games in the Super Regional to go to the College World Series 2 years ago.
Yeah.
This is when we need the
this year,
is when we need the drop from Jim Calhoun. Get some facts and come back and see me.
Yeah, that's right.
Not a dime back.
Especially now, salaries now.
So 3 years ago as well, they were...
Yeah, just to fully drive home
the point. Yeah, sorry. They were... I don't know if I have a final... I guess they didn't make the tournament that year, but they've missed one consecutive tournament.
Yeah.
But this isn't where Louisville fans have gotten used to.
And our women's basketball team, same thing. We're used to hosting the NCAA tournament, and all of a sudden we're not. And it's like, okay, what's going on around here? What's happening? These sports that I used to never care about that now I do, you know, it's not.
90% of the people complaining about these things never attend a game.
That's probably true.
Never.
Yeah.
Now, if you are like my dog sitter, Crazy Creighton, now, then he can say whatever he wants because he probably was at every pitch of that thing last night.
I believe it. I
think he probably was.
Crazy Creighton?
Crazy Creighton. In a good way. Cray Cray. If that's not his nickname, he doesn't have good friends. If your nickname with your friends isn't Cray Cray, then I don't know what...
Then what is happening?
I don't know.
That's awesome.
You need a new nickname department.
Oh, that's great. But no, I mean, I think that there's just an expectation after you've proven yourself to be one of the best coaches in the game, that this
yes, but people have to stay sane and go.
I agree with that.
Like the results haven't exactly, they're not exactly all polls aren't reporting for the year
right
here in mid-April.
No, there's lots of opportunity ahead for them. So but Miami this weekend and it's down in Miami, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So you know,
I don't know. I don't know what kind of team they have.
College baseball RPI.
I don't know. You can check that out if you want to do that. It's fine. Look it up right there. See what you got.
See what I got. If I can click on the link, that would probably help, right? Like if you can actually
generally.
Like clicking the link, and then the Texas A&M is number one in the college baseball. So 71st.
Okay, so you got a chance to go down there and hopefully win the series, maybe sweep. Who knows?
16-19 on the year Miami is. So that's kind of irregular for Miami baseball. They're usually one of the better teams in the country, but you got to go down there and win that one now. You know, you can't go down there and lose that, especially after what happened with Virginia over the weekend. You got to win this series. Time to go. Get Louisville baseball going. Come on, Dan. Where are you, Roger?
Stop. All this fake anger at the team from other people, you know?
I'm not angry. I want to
Chase,
get
by the
going.
Way, found the play. Oh, he found the game. Oh, sorry.
No, Let's I found go. The play. Yeah,
oh,
there's a timestamp under it. Yeah.
Oh, there it is. Yeah, Chase, it's unbelievable. Chase is amazing.
How much time is in the game when that happens?
He gave you a timestamp. Go an hour. On the link he sent you a link to the game and said go an hour and 21 minutes and 20 seconds in.
Okay.
It can't be better than that. That's pretty good. Let's go to Donnie up next, though. Donnie, welcome in. 9th Round of Ville, ESPN 680. Good morning.
Hey, Drew. Good morning.
What's going on?
In that text, and we've missed 3 out of the last 4 tournaments, including the COVID year. Yeah, we did have
what?
The one
game. Now, wait. You're going to hold them and they were the number one team in the country for missing the tournament when there was no tournament?
No, I'm just saying, 3 out of the last 4 years, we have not made the tournament.
And so you're counting this year as one of them? You're counting this as
no,
one of them?
No, this year will be another year we don't make. I sent you a picture of the last 4 or 5 years.
Oh, I have to check the text line.
Yeah, I mean, just our pitching's been terrible. I don't know if it's the pitchers we are getting or if Roger Williams is just not as good as he used to be.
Well, I'm sure he hadn't forgotten how to be a pitching coach. I mean, so, wait, what years they missed? They missed 21. They missed 2021.
21. They went to the Super Regional in 22.
Year.
No, COVID year is 20. Wait, you're not holding the COVID year as missing the tournament against
them. No, I'm just saying that's 1 year that we didn't go, but that was everybody.
But that's you can't. Well, okay, that's doctoring up a stat. So they missed 2 out of 3.
We missed the year after. We missed the year after.
So they won in 20. Okay, they did miss the tournament. There was no tournament. So that one we're ruling out. 2 out of 3, not 3 out of 4. You're talking about 2 out of 3 years.
21.
Okay, 2 out of 3, and this is going to be 3 out of 4 this year when we don't make the tournament.
Well, we'll see. I think the year's over with yet.
I'll make a bet on you that we don't make the tournament this year.
All right, fine. 100 bucks. I'm in. 100 bucks.
Okay. All right, we're in.
All right. 100 for 100, plus 100 both sides. Good. Now I got action. I got action on the air.
All right, beat Miami.
All right. I hope they make the tournament. I'll gladly lose the 100 bucks.
Good. I hope they do too.
I'm looking at the pitching going, it probably needs to be a lot better than this, but, given over the last week. But I'm not, so many of these teams.
It's all sorts of silly stuff. It's all sorts of, throwing the ball in the right field when you're trying to pick a guy off. It's come on. Like, you got to run her on base. The last thing you want to do is give him second and third because you threw over and the guy didn't catch it. Like, come on. Like, if you're going to throw over, it's got to be a good throw. First base has to catch it. This is basic baseball.
Yeah.
And so that type of stuff just cannot happen. And, so that stuff has got to get cleaned up. Like, when we lost a Super Regional, ball goes over the right field fence and they're down to the last left-handed batter and stuff like that. You just kind of say, okay, this sucks. We lose that game. It's just baseball. But when you're throwing over and the ball goes into right field, it cannot happen.
Yeah.
Ever.
Well, it's also college baseball does happen. I mean, it doesn't happen in the majors. The fielding in the major leagues is ungodly. When you start things that look routine in the majors, and college would be, through the infield, through the wickets. The play of the game was that left fielder for the UK last night. That they were getting ready to just keep the carousel of runs going. Third or fourth inning, he made that diving catch near the line.
Right.
That thing drops. I mean, they probably could win the game. But
right. I didn't see how the Reds did last night. Whenever they play out west, they lost.
3-1.
Oh, God, okay. Well, they play these late West Coast games, I can't keep up with the Reds. I'm just going to sleep.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you?
and then my password's not working anymore. My hijacked password that I was getting to watch the Reds, it's not working anymore. And I'm
I got you now. Yeah. I was like, what are we talking about here?
So I need another one, listener. Phil Baker gave me one. I couldn't get that to work either.
Just for example, because I was trying to find the year that Virginia, and I'm not saying Louisville's going to win the national title, but the year Virginia won the national title, this is what, April, what's today's date? April 17th. So going into that series, the equivalent time of year on April 15th when they started a weekend series. That Virginia team was 7-11 in the ACC. You know, 7-11.
Right.
Ended up 500, won the national title.
Right. And what was, and go back and look at Ole Miss. Right. The year that they won it. What was that?
What year did they
win?
Was
that 22? I think it was 22 or 21. It's one of those 2 years where Ole Miss won it. And they were talking about firing Bianco. They barely got in the tournament. They might have been a 3 seed in the tournament. I think they were a 3 seed. And, you know, they ended up winning the whole daggone thing.
What year did they win that? 2021.
2021. It was 21 or 22. Okay. I'm getting my, you know, have that 2020 line as a demarcation for the year that didn't happen, where I thought we were going to win. I thought we were going to be the best.
I mean, how you can't doctor up a stat so they've missed 3 out of 4 tournaments when they canceled the tournament
when they were the number one team in the country?
Yeah, I mean, like, you're trying to use that as negative data.
I mean, it sounds like
they stink. That year's clearly terrible. They didn't make the tournament.
It sounds like a real fan.
There was no tournament.
Ah, well, that's his fault, not mine.
Yeah, they're number one team in the country.
Well, that was a bad year. They missed tournament. Like,
yeah,
come on, man.
He sounds like a real fan, though.
Yeah, I agree. But, and I could say, but you could say 2 out of 3 years. But if you're trying to say 3 out of 4 they have made the tournament, one of the years there was no tournament.
Right.
Like, good night.
So, yeah, so Mike Bianco won that. I'm trying to see where they were midway through
the
year.
I'm trying to find that as well.
So, golly. Tried to track down because these brackets are crazy in the College World Series when you're going back in time.
I've got their schedule here. So, the equivalent point for that year. Yeah, they were 9-5 in the SEC, and yeah, are we sure he was getting ready to get fired that year? They were went to the tournament like 40.
No, in April 16th, they were 5-10 in the SEC in 2022.
But they won it in 21.
No, they won it in 22.
Oh, I've got 21.
No, they won it in 22.
Okay.
College World Series champions 2022, and on April 16th was their last game. They were 5-10 in the SEC.
Okay.
And 21-14.
Even better.
They just lost the series to South Carolina, and then they lost to Southeast Missouri State 3-13.
They're good. Southeast Missouri State's a good baseball program.
Yeah, but
don't kid yourself.
I know, but this is where they were. They were 21-15 and 5-10 on April 19th, and then they got hot. They just got hot.
Yeah, I'm looking at it there. Yeah, they went into
May and got hot.
Well, they were 5-9. They got swept. They got swept this that weekend at South Carolina. They were sitting there at 5-10. Yeah. And then lost their next two conference games. Good light. They were 6-12.
Yeah, they were terrible.
In the league.
And Bianco. Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's guaranteed they come to that. But if you're writing baseball seasons off in April, then you've never watched college baseball that much.
Right.
Now,
you
look,
two examples, recent examples, where teams were resurrected, revived.
Revival.
If you will.
And one of the years, somebody won the title. Didn't Oregon State win it as a 4 seed one of those years or something like that? You can look that up. And 4 seed in the regional, meaning it's equivalent of like a 13-16
right.
seed or whatever.
Right. They're barely in.
Yeah.
You're a 3 or 4 seed. You're barely
in. If you're
in.
The 4 seed, you are, by definition, one of the 16 worst teams in it. So.
Yep.
At least in the eyes of the committee.
You're saying they won it as a 4 seed?
Yeah, I think Fresno or Oregon State, one of them won the College World Series to win college.
Oh, man, and Oregon State, man. I mean, they lost a big-time running back yesterday into the portal, and I just feel so bad for them because they were a Power 5 team, and they've just been gutted. And there were some Oregon State fans there in Hawaii, and I was talking to them about, you know, their program and you know, the Pac-12 not existing, and they're just beside themselves because they love their school, you know, in Oregon State. They're wearing orange every day out there at the pool and the beach, but they don't have any hope to look forward to anymore.
Let's see. 4 seeds have reached the College World Series last year, and then in 2012 and 2008. I don't know who they were.
Yeah, Oregon State won it in 18, and they were the number one team in the country.
Okay, so wasn't them.
Go back.
I've looked at it. Nothing like researching college baseball
in the middle of this.
Live on the air. So my only thing, the whole thing is like, let's let the year finish where everybody loses their mind. And if it's a team that misses the tournament, then you go, wait a minute. Why are these last 2 years not like the
rest?
Right,
and if they do miss 3 of the last 4 tournaments.
Right, then that's a difference.
Now we need to have a conversation about what does Dan McDonald need? Is it more NIL? Is it a coaching staff? I mean, is it a staff thing? I don't know. But that's a question for him. Like, what isn't functioning the way it used to function?
Yeah.
If that happens.
Well, and if you're not functioning the way you used to function, we're the perfect place for you.
Yeah, that's right. Tri-State Men's Health. And, you know, this is right here at 950 Breckenridge Lane. And they're got, like, this is technology for
behind
you.
Behind the old, behind where the O'Charlies used to be. That's the way you know you're from Louisville.
That's right. And next to the Home Depot.
Where things used to
be. The First Watch, which used to be a bank, is now a breakfast restaurant, which is really weird. But no, come out here, man. If you need more energy, if you want to lose some weight, they can take care of you over here. Like, there's no reason to, like, not come in here if you're feeling like you just aren't the same guy anymore, or if you want to lose weight. This is two tried and proven ways that you can come in here, and they'll take time with you. Rummage is getting involved. He's going to be in here tomorrow. Striebel has already lost some weight and feeling great. I've lost 23 pounds.
Both are noticeably different.
I haven't seen Striebel in a bit.
Yeah, no, he looks good.
Yeah, I want to see Striebel. I haven't seen him in a while, so I might have to drop in on him or something.
You should shadow produce. You should do the Big Easy thing.
I wish nothing more.
We got to get to break. Peyton, we're keeping Peyton Siva.
Oh, yeah,
we're
ready.
We'll step aside here. We'll come back on the other side and get Peyton Siva. It's Diener Tonight on the Ville, ESPN 680.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Liquor Barn Studios, you're listening to The Diener Show on ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Drew Diener and Mark Blankenbaker.
Welcome back to Tri-State Men's Health here on The Diener Show. We're over here at Tri-State Men's Health where it's doctors for guys. If you are dealing with a testosterone issue or you just need more energy or maybe you want to lose some weight, Tri-State Men's Health is the place to come out and, you know, join that semi-glutide program and help me lose 23 pounds. It'll change your life.
Gives you
really
superpowers,
will.
Man. Gives you superpowers. A guy we thought when he was on the court had superpowers is on the line with us now. And he now, I don't know, do we call you Coach Siva? Peyton, good morning. Is it Coach Siva? What title do we just bestow on you? Congratulations.
I appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me on, man. Just Peyton Siva, man. Whatever you guys want to call me, I'm fine with.
Well, describe the role that you're going to be in. And I heard you talk a little bit with Luke yesterday. I guess Deion Branch sort of planted the idea in your head.
Yeah, similar to Deion Branch, for those who know what he does for the football team, just kind of player development. My role is I'm not able to be on the floor as often with them, but I'm more so, hey, come to my office, being around the guys, talking to them, helping them, showing them things that they can work on with film and things of that nature, but also too, you know, just really being around them and helping mentor them. You know, we got a great coaching staff here that I've, you know, am super happy to be a part of and super excited to work with. But, you know, for me, it's just the mentor aspect of it, being around the guys full time now. And then also, too, as far as the alumni relations goes, just being back in the community, you know, reaching out to former alumni, you know, bringing them back, being that bridge from, you know, all eras and bringing them to these guys now that's going to be on the team. So really looking forward to it, man. I'm super excited. You know, Louisville's my home away from home. You know, this is my adopted family. They adopted me from Seattle. So, you know, my wife's from here. So it just couldn't have worked out any better.
Do you want to be a coach?
One day. I enjoy it. As far as head coaching goes, we'll see. But coaching, I really enjoy it. I've been, you know, last year I was in the MBPA coaching development program, where I was able to, you know, be one of the head coaches at the G League Elite Camp for the guys going to the NBA draft or going to the draft. I was able to be a head coach at the top 100 camp for high schoolers. So I've gotten the chance to, you know, do that, and I've really enjoyed it. And, you know, as a former player and as a point guard, it just kind of came natural in that sense to, you know, help those kids out and direct traffic in a sense. So it's been cool, man. It's been an adjustment, but it's been a fun one.
You know, because it seems to me you seem like a pretty happy guy. And coaches, if you don't love the grind and love being on the road, it's tough to have like a normal life. You seem to like having a normal life. I don't know if you could do that if you're being a college, you know, on the road recruiting assistant coach.
Yeah, that's why this kind of role kind of plays perfect for me. you know, in the sense that I'm not traveling on the road as far as going and recruiting, and you know, I'm more here full time based. So that worked out for me, and it's a chance for me to kind of get my feet wet into the coaching world. And, you know, man, I mean, I've been part of the staff, you know, for less than 24 hours as far as that. And, you know, just seeing everything that they deal with, man, being around those guys, seeing how they rip and run, the work that they put in, you know, behind the curtains is, you know, truly mesmerizing. You know, I never, you know, as a player, you don't think of all the things that go into it. You know, so it's really cool to kind of see the other side of it. And it's another challenge. You know, for me, I've always been, you know, about accepting new challenges in my life. And, you know, it's one of those things that, all right, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it full on.
Peyton Siever with us here. By the way, Luke Hancock says you're the new Coach P. I like that one. How did you get in touch with Kelsey, and what were your conversations like? Who made the connection, and how did the conversations go?
I reached out to a couple of people that he knew once the hire was made. I talked to Josh, you know, just asking if I can meet with him. You know, and I talked to a couple other people, just mentioning the role. I saw the role, the position was open, and I felt like it was a role that I can, you know, really step into and do well in, and do something that I can help. With this program, you know, you guys know how much this program and university means to me, and you know, and I would love nothing more to just be a part of it and to help it grow back to where it once was. But I eventually got a chance to, you know, meet Coach Kelsey, and you know, listening to him in his presser, talk to him, you know, one-on-one. I mean, the guy is, you know, super electric, high energy guy, hard worker. You know, somebody that I felt like, okay, I can work well with. And, I mean, every day that I've seen him at the gym, every day that I've, you know, gotten a chance to interact with him, man, he's been nothing but on fire. He's been, you know, motivated. And it's really cool to see. And, you know, you want to work for somebody who has that passion. So,
Peyton Siever with us here at 93 on the Ville, ESPN 680. What did you learn about him and his personality or his philosophies talking to him versus what you saw at the press conference?
Man, so, I mean, at the press conference, I mean, the guy has the best quotes you'll ever see.
Yeah.
It's quote. But those are good coaches, right? I mean, you know, Coach P, he had quotes for days, saying for days that, you know, me and my teammates, we can write a book on all the sayings that he used to tell us. But the cool thing about him, man, is in talking to him, you know, besides his personality and how he handled the press conference, was just his basketball mind. This is, you know, he's so grateful for the opportunity and, you know, humbled by being where he's at, his faith, everything. It's just really stuck out to me, you know, talking to him about recruits, in the sense of, okay, that kid looks good, or, you know, talking to him about X's and O's, the philosophy that he has, his organization of small details. He's very detail oriented. It's really been truly, you know, just eye opening, and it's really great to see, man, and it's really refreshing. And like I said, man, I'm just super happy to be able to get a chance to work with him and be on their staff with all the other, you know, great coaching staff members that, you know, we have.
Do these guys that are, you know, maybe in their, you know, 20s, late, you know, they're the guys are 20, 21, 22, do they know who you were? Do they remember you as a player?
It's funny, man. A lot of them, you know, it's surprising. Some do. You know, and which is really surprising to me, you know, because nowadays I get to go around the city and a lot of people come up to me and they show me their kids' pictures of me holding them when they're babies, and now they're all taller than me. And adults and living, and it's really crazy to me to see, but it's humbling, you know, when I do get to meet some of these young guys and, you know, they're like, oh, man, I watched you when I was growing up, or, you know, I used to watch you and Russ in the backcourt, or I watched
Is that weird to hear? Is it weird to hear?
It is. Yeah. It is. It's weird, but, I mean, it's humbling, you know, and I'm very grateful that I was able to leave an impact, you know, at the university, but also leave an impact in college basketball for guys that, you know, just say, hey, man, I love watching you play. And they can be full of it, right? They can just be like, hey, I'm here at the university, and, you know, I looked on YouTube right before I came. But, I mean, it's still, you know, very humbling to hear.
Does it make you mad if they don't remember you, but they do remember Luke?
No, not at all. I mean, you know, Luke has a very distinguished face that a lot of people can't forget. I mean, it's a very lovable, punchable face that people don't know.
I thought it was great to hear Luke yesterday talk about how you guys, as you were captains, you're both different kind of captains. You know, it was kind of like the good cop, bad cop of captaining.
So I would say this, man. The one thing that, you know, really stuck out about Luke was, you know, I'm a people's person. You know, I try to get along with all my teammates, and I try my best to lead by example out on the floor. And I'm a very, you know, talkative, upbeat kind of guy. And you kind of need somebody like Luke to kind of just lay the foot down. But my first encounter with Luke, man, I think we had a 7 o'clock weightlifting where everybody was supposed to be there. And I believe, and I won't say no names, but
Shane was late.
one of the guys came late to, you know, lift. And this was when Luke first transferred in. And he called him out. He was like, look, we're all here at this time. You need to be here at this time. And kind of just, you know, got on him about it. And, you know, that was, you know, the first, you know, day. Like, first week. I wouldn't say the first day. Everybody tried to show up on time first day. But it was like the first week, right? And from there on, you know, he kind of held everybody accountable. And excuse my language, you kind of need those assholes around that's, you know, is this non-nonsense, right? It's just like, hey, look, this is what we are. And it kind of meshed well with us because, look, this is the guy who transferred in. He's already buying into the culture. Like, no, we're not going to have any of that. And I think, you know, you need those different type of personalities that, you know, really mesh together. I mean, you know, even if somebody would have went at him, he knew he had me for his backing, that, you know, I was there for a couple of years. So I've been through the system. I've been through the ringer that, you know, the guys respected me. So if I would have said something like, hey, no, we're going to listen to that, you know, he knew he had that confidence in. But for him to really do that his first year, man, is just showed a lot of grit. It showed who he was, but it showed that, you know, he's coming from a culture that he's setting the standard. I mean, and we had our standard too. I mean, so it was really cool to see that, but it just kind of grew over time. And I mean, people don't remember, like, Luke didn't really have the best, you know, start. You know, he dealt with a lot of injuries and all that stuff, but for him to continue to be this outspoken like that, it really spoke volumes.
What's the story, talking with Peyton Siever here, 93.9 The Ville, ESPN 680, when you talk to these guys and they want to know about the title game, or if fans want to know about it, what's the story like that you tell the most often about what made that team great? Is there an anecdote? Is there a game? Is there a moment that you tell people when you knew the team was great?
I would say the moment that we knew we were great, but that we were really good, I would say the Bahamas was a big, you know, a turning point, a big, you know, eye opener for us, just because we went down to the Bahamas. You know, we had a lot of stuff going on, and, you know, we had a lot of expectations, but, you know, we won our first couple games, and then Corky was out, you know, and we played Duke. And Duke was a highly ranked team, and I mean, they're Duke, right? They're a historically good team.
They had Plumlee. I'm looking at the roster here: Suleiman, Plumlee, Seth Curry. Ryan Kelly. They had a crew.
Yeah, and at that time, you know, they were highly ranked, and you know, we thought we were good. You know, we knew that Gorgie was a huge piece for us, and and we didn't really know, right? You know, we liked our guys. We liked Zach. We liked Ventries. We knew guys can step up. Montrez was a freshman, you know, didn't really get to play a lot at that time. But we took them down to the wire. We had a really good game. We ended up losing, but we felt like we gave them everything that they can handle, and that was without, you know,
well, our NBA player, Gorgui Jang, and our best defensive, you know, player in the back line, and, you know, guys like Van Tree, Zach, and all them guys, you know, really stepped up. And that really propelled us, like, okay, well, we can do this, right? We have, you know, the depth to really make a run at it. And then the turning point, it wasn't, for me, it wasn't the five overtime game that we lost against Notre Dame. Our turning point was probably the three-game losing streak that we had when we were ranked number one. Mm-hmm. You know, we had the court stormed on us twice. We lost three games in 1 week, ranked number one. We lost to Syracuse. I turned it over at the end of the game against Mike Carter-Williams. He went down and dunked it. We lost that game. And then we lost to Villanova, I want to say the next game at Villanova. They stormed the court on us. Then we lost to Georgetown. At Georgetown, they stormed the court on us. And we could have easily, you know, been against each other. We could have easily pointed the finger at each other. We could have easily just packed it in, right? Mm-hmm. I would say the turning point for us right there was we just all really came together collectively and was just like, look, man, this is a, we can't have it again. Luckily, it was in a 1 week span. So it wasn't like over 3 weeks where we lost, and had time to dwell on it. It was like, no.
Well, and the thing of it is, like, you had to turn around and play Pittsburgh. I forgot about that just 2 days after that Georgetown game. It's Steven Adams on their team. You know, it wasn't like you were staring at a four-game losing streak. It wouldn't have been, you know, against teams. Right. Wouldn't have been the worst teams you've lost. You know?
Yeah. So, I mean, in with the Big East, too, it was, I mean, the Big East was the Big East back then. You know, every night you're playing against a ranked team. Every night you're playing against somebody, you know, big. But it was that quick turnaround that really saved us that, you know, we were like, all right, look, we got another game. Like, we can't dwell on it. We can't, like you said, we can easily go down a four-game streak, but nah, we're turning the thing around and we're moving forward. So that was a big turning point for us, man. I mean, even the Notre Dame game, it was just like, that's five overtimes. We should have won that game. We had the game. They just made a ton of pretty shots in the second half with Jeremy Grant, where he just kind of went crazy. And then, I mean, from there, we just felt like we didn't feel like anybody else could beat us. I mean, we was humbled about it, but we were just like, oh, we got this. Yeah, so
you guys outscored Syracuse. Sorry, that second half they outscored Syracuse 56-26. A team that had loads of NBA players on it.
It's probably 56-26.
Is that's got to be the best half, right?
Oh, I mean, you know, it was one of those halves that is just like everybody did something, right? It was, you know, honestly, this was the brilliance of, you know, Coach Patino. He saw that, you know, the zone hurt us all year. It hurt me in particular, you know, just the length and everything. I didn't shoot it particularly well against Syracuse anytime we played them. But Shane, Syracuse always had, you know, 6'11", 7 foot, 6'11", in that back line. And Shane wasn't really, you know, finishing around the rim as well as he does against other people. And Montrez was. And Gorgui, you know, being the facilitator he is at the high post, was always making the right pass down there. But then, you know, you're going down there against all the trees and, you know, they're deflecting it or making a tougher shot to finish around the basket. Well, Montrez was dunking all that. I mean, his arms are a lot longer. I mean, he's just as explosive as Shane. And, man, Montrez came out with that energy. He got those first couple points, man, and the guy was on fire. And then you had Luke, Kevin, myself, just picking up, you know, Michael Carter-Williams, full court, turning him, getting him tired. And that's when we kind of made our run. I mean, and Coach P, man, if you guys watch him on the sideline that game, just the confidence he instilled in us. I mean, he did that every game, but you see him slapping Kevin on the back after he made a three, after UCR bench was electric. I mean, it just meant so much to us, man, and it just everything just kind of clicked, right? And then we were just like, oh, click, 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 click. And, I mean, that just kind of, you know, really propelled us.
Gorgui had eight assists. Gorgui had eight assists in that game.
I mean, people look at Gorgui, right? I mean, you look at our team. We were so well-balanced that, you know, you had Russ, 17, myself, 10. But everybody else was 9, 9, 9, 8, 8, 8. And people don't realize how good of a passer Gorgui was. People don't realize how, you know, he gets a lot of credit for his shot-blocking ability, but Gorgui was money from mid-range, that elbow sweet spot. I mean, amazing passer, you know, and he just did so much for us and facilitated. He's kind of like the unsung hero a lot of people don't really talk about when you talk about Louisville basketball and our run. But, I mean, you know, obviously without a lot of the guys, but Gorgie was a huge component in all that, right? He allowed Russ and I to take a lot of gambles in the backcourt. And knowing that we had him in the back, so it made it a lot easier for us just to run around with our heads cut off like chickens and gambling for every steal, and him being back there to clean it all up, man. We just, you know, he was a big factor for us in all those games.
I just love the my favorite stat about your guys' team, and looking at KenPom right now, your opponents, 27% of their possessions ended in turnovers. Before they even get a shot off, 27%, and that's where you have to deal with Gorgie. You know, that 27% of them were all their possessions were turnovers, more than a fourth. That's an unbelievable stat.
Yeah, I mean, I tell you, man, and it goes back to our practices. You know, when I'm, you know, going against Russ every day, and, you know, even guys, you know, like people don't think of, like, Tim Henderson pushing us every day in practice, you know, us just taking it our anger out on Mike Baffler, who gave us work too in practice.
Dark Slime?
Michael Baffler. You know,
what'd you do to him?
Kevin Ware, right? It just, you know, we had so much depth on our team that our practice was insanely tough. So when we got into games, I mean, we were just fresh, right? It was just boom, boom, next thing in, next guy in, boom, boom. You know, so we returned a lot of guys over. And I feel like, you know, a lot of our turnovers came in the second half against teams that they were just tired, right? All of our first half, you know, would be close games, be right there. And then that second half, you know, we just felt like we were more in condition than a lot of teams. And we just turned it on, and that press really wore out a lot of people. A lot of people, like Coach P would say, a lot of people don't know how to beat the press, because a lot of guards, they want to dribble through the press and not know how to pass it. And, you know, some of the teams that we faced the most difficulties was teams that knew how to pass it out of the press and just got the ball out of their guards' hands for me and Russ to really, you know, shine. And, you know, once they got over half court, that's where we kind of like, okay, now we have to really dig in. But we turned a lot of people, we pressured them, and that fatigue.
Oh, I think they got mentally fatigued too. You could see their physical fatigue, and they're a little tired. Then they look at you and Russ, go, not these two again. Bring it up against. I mean, mentally.
Everyone says they want to play fast, but nobody really wants to.
That's a great line. So what do you think? I'll get you on this. Like, what do you think the biggest thing you can do for these guys is? Because it seems like a bit of a vague role, like, hey, I'm going to help these guys, you know, after school. But, like, what are something specific that you think you can do?
I think specifically, man, is just being that extra set of eyes, being someone that they can come to and talk to, using my experience, you know, playing 10 years pro, like watching film with them, breaking it down, like, hey, man, look at this possession, right? Look at this corner guy. How is he cutting? Are you jamming him? Just kind of just being a coach to them, but also, too, just kind of being a mentor for them. You know, having that, you know, a lot of times when you do play for, you know, basketball, high-level sports, you always need that ear to talk to, someone that you can trust, someone that you can, you know, go to and discuss things that, you know, yeah, I'm a part of the coaching staff, but, you know, I'm not the head coach. You know, you can have a relationship with your head coach, but you're never really going to go talk to the head coach, right, as a player, like that you can really talk to, that you feel like, oh, man, I'm really dealing with this. So my role with that is just kind of being there for them in that sense, but also, too, man, just being there to, like I said, it is kind of a vague role, but just pointing out things that I see, man, bringing that extra eyes, the extra voice, voicing my opinion, and just, you know, being around them.
Well, I think it's great. I think people are so glad to see you back involved with the program. What was this summer, I know, at the TBT, and hopefully get another win there. But congratulations, Peyton. I think everybody's really glad to see this.
Oh, man, thank you, guys. I really appreciate it.
Anytime. Appreciate it. Peyton, see, I mean, I could talk to the guys from that team all day.
I just enjoy listening to it. It's great just to hear it.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, and I know we talk about his current role, but some of the stories from that season never get old. And, I knew, like, the second half was awesome against Syracuse, but 56-26?
It's the most explosive half I could ever think of.
NBA guys littered all over the court for Syracuse.
Trez
Michael
was awesome.
Carter Williams, yeah.
Yeah, Trez was incredible during that. And I remember at halftime.
And they weren't hot from three. They were 6-19 from the field from three.
I remember at halftime being depressed. I was like, we're going to lose. How much were we
down? They weren't down as much as you think. I'll go, because I was just looking
like
at that.
Million.
They were down, I'll find it. It was like it was 12 or 13. I'll go find.
It's still
roughly
a lot. That.
Yeah,
a lot for that team.
For a team that booms you, though.
Yeah, that was a super boom.
Yeah.
But the whole second half was a boom. And you know, like you're talking about how they just like teams that, you know, with the pressure of Peyton, Russ, and Kevin.
You could just see guys go, oh no. These
Oregon stood
these
out.
These mother bleepers.
Yeah. And we got an AH from Peyton Siva on the Wednesday.
It's okay, yeah. Peyton Siva can say a-hole all he wants on radio. His money's good in this town.
I think the only two people to have dropped that are Paul Rogers and Peyton Siva.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And, I wouldn't have had money on either one of those.
No.
100 to 1?
Yeah.
Longer?
I don't know. That's great. But no, they were to do that, and again, I'll just look at that to get to the exact. They were down 35-22 at halftime. Yeah, and then they held Syracuse team
no scoring
to 26 points, and they dropped 56 of their own, and were not hot. They were 6 of 19 from three. It was all, you know, passes from Gorgian, dunks, and then a bunch of made free throws. I mean, really, for the game, even from 2-point range, they were 17 of 38.
Not even
so
that great.
Overall, they were 23 of 57 and beat the snot out of them. Why? Because they forced 20 turnovers.
Wow.
And held them to, 9 of 22 and 11 of 20. The game almost doesn't make sense statistically.
No, that was one of the weirdest games I ever can remember.
God, I'd love to find the second half box score of that thing.
Like, I was in a terrible mood at halftime. Terrible mood. Yeah. I was going to ruin my entire March if they lost that game, and they figured out a way to go out there
just
and
smash
win
them.
It and smashed it, just totally changed the. Because I mean,
absolutely,
we're on a winning streak.
Them.
You know, you don't want to lose that. You want to just keep it going and go win a national championship. Of course, they did.
Mm-hmm.
Just an incredible run, and I couldn't be more happy that Peyton Siva is a part of our program. A great move by Pat Kelsey.
Yeah, smart move.
Just to keep all the good vibes. I mean, that's what Peyton Siva is. He's good vibes.
Absolutely. All right, we'll continue along here as we roll along this morning over here at Tri-State Men's Health, where you can come on by and find out what a lot of guys found out. You know, it's a great way to lose weight, build strength up, get your drive back, all the above over here. And Men's Health, damn right. Let's go. Let's use our superpowers over here. So we got all that going. If you want to get on the NBA, we got the play-in tournament over, and now we got the rest of it to go. And if you want to download the FanDuel app, if you haven't done it yet, you're going to be able to download the app and get some of those no sweat parlays. Like somebody just sent in a text to the text line that they woke up to a Santa bet from that Lakers game.
Oh, how about
night.
That?
So they had that, which is nice. You can go to FanDuel.com/DrewD, FanDuel.com/DrewD, if you'd like to find out more about those. And, of course, if you haven't signed up, you're going to be able to get those $150 in bonus bets right when you sign up there. So FanDuel.com/DrewD, and you're going to find out all about it. Got to be 21 or older, got to be present in Kentucky, and your first real money wager only on there. And $10 first deposit required. Bonus issues, non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.